Fred Film Radio, educational.
Fred Film Radio, this is Accessible Cinema, your show dedicated to media accessibility, and I'm Francesca Raffi. Today, I'm really honored to have virtually with me Anna Matamala to talk about media accessibility. Anna Matamala is Senior Lecturer in Audiovisual Translation at the Department of Translation and Interpreting at the Universidad Autónoma de Barcelona, and she is member of Transmedia Research Group and Transmedia Catalonia. Anna, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for inviting me. It's really a pleasure.
We have already had the pleasure to interview Anna on her numerous projects on media accessibility. But today, I really would like to start from the very beginning. So, Anna, tell us more about yourself. How and why did you become so involved in media accessibility?
Well, actually, I was an audiovisual translator, so I worked for dubbing for quite a long period. And then I moved into academia, and at the very beginning, I was working mostly on the traditional audiovisual transfer modes, so dubbing, subtitling, etc. But then in 2004, I went to this conference and I learned about audio description. So the description of the visuals into words, especially for people who cannot access those visuals. And I got really fascinated about this. And together with other colleagues, we started this research group, Transmedia. And from then until now, I've been really, really involved in researching media accessibility in different forms.
So, speaking of media accessibility, we can say that defining accessibility is an ongoing process, both across time and societies. So, how can we define media accessibility today, Anna?
For me, media accessibility means that everybody, all of us, regardless of our abilities, regardless of our capabilities, are able to access media. And media is so important these days. I mean, we use media to get information, to enjoy culture, etc. And all of us, what we could call diverse users, should have access. So for me, the ideal situation is in a situation in which media products, when they are created, consider different users from the very beginning. So that would be the perfect media accessibility. If this is not possible, we can also add access service afterwards to cater for the needs of all the audiences.
Media accessibility is definitely a constantly changing process. So my next question is, what is the current situation regarding media accessibility, especially in academic context, since you are a researcher?
Well, I think that in the last 10, 15 years, a lot has been done on media accessibility. I was telling you about the fact that, I mean, 15 years ago, I didn't know anything about it, although there were some already practices. Mm-hmm. Media access services have expanded and media access research has expanded a lot.
Right.
So I would say that at the beginning, we were more interested in describing the situation. So our research was more descriptive. What's happening in this country, in that country? How do we do, subtitles or audio description? Then we moved and we are still there to more experimental research. So we are interested on how the end users receive those access services. And also, a very interesting evolution more recently is the technological component. So mm-hmm. technology is more and more present in media. How do users interact with that technology? How do we integrate access service in new technological developments? So I would say that we've done a lot. Our methodologies, the way we research, has improved enormously, but there are still lots of things to be done research-wise.
Okay, so we can say that we are bridging the gap between research and practice. So, Anna, how do you involve other stakeholders from non-academic contexts in your work?
I will say a slogan, a phrase that we often use, which is nothing about us without us.
Mm-hmm.
That persons with disabilities say, don't research, don't do anything without consulting us. And we try to do that. We try to talk and be in touch with end users, persons with disabilities, but also persons who are using the access services, because we want access services to be mainstream, to be for everybody. We try to be in touch with service providers, with broadcasters, with regulators, with trainers and trainees, with technicians, with standardization bodies. And I'm sure I'm missing someone, mm-hmm. but I think that academics cannot live in the so-called ivory tower. We have to talk to all the people involved in access services, because, I mean, we are researching this because there is a research interest, but also to make a change, to have an impact on society.
Right.
So we have to talk to society. So, I don't know, for instance, when we do research, we try to have users doing experiments. When we have results, we try to transfer that to standardization bodies such as ISO to get like norms. We take part in as many events as possible to talk to other stakeholders in the field. And in any case, we try to cooperate as much as possible.
Anna, I know that you either coordinated or participated in more than 35 national and international research projects, but today I would like to focus on the Accessible Culture and Training Project, which teamed up for its final conference with the Unlimited Symposium, which took place in Barcelona on the 6th of June 2018. Fred was a media partner of the event. So, Anna, could you please tell us more about this project?
Well, this project, Accessible Culture and Training, is a project led by Pilar Orero at UAB. And it will finish very soon. We are in the last year. And in this project, what we tried is to define the profile of the accessibility manager for the SENIC Arts. Okay, let me put an example. You work in a theater, okay, mm-hmm. and you want to provide accessible performances.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, theaters don't have a person dealing with accessibility, okay? So we need someone in that theater who knows what access services need to be offered, how I can contact a service provider, how can I cater for the user needs, etc. So there is really a need to have an expert in accessibility in the SENIC Arts.
Mm-hmm.
And this person can be based in a theater, work in a cultural venue, in an opera house, whatever, or maybe can be someone coordinating different places, mm-hmm. different centers. So to define that accessibility manager profile, what we did was, together with many partners, check what's being done at European level. Then we defined the skills and competencies that managers should have.
Mm-hmm.
We designed a curriculum. So if a university wants to offer some training, what they should offer. And that's very, very interesting, we've developed a MOOC, a massive open online course,
mm-hmm.
which is now already available on Coursera. So if I may add a commercial here.
Of course.
Yes, go and check that course on Coursera. It's free and it will allow you to get in a few weeks, you know, the needed training to become an accessibility manager. So that was the central thing in the project. And if I may add, the project has also worked on certification. So if you want to become a certified accessibility manager, the mm-hmm. project has taken all the steps needed so that in the future this can be offered by ECQA. And we've done a couple of things more.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is that we've created guidelines on how to implement an accessibility policy for the SENIC Arts. And this has been possible because there was a partner from the Catalan government and a partner from a Flemish agency. And finally, we've also discussed a quality label. Let me explain that to you. Sometimes you see that a company is, I don't know, environmentally friendly,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they've got like a label, a quality label. So maybe we could create also a quality label for theaters, opera houses, etc., referring to their access services. So this is a proposal we'll make within this project.
Can you please tell me more about other projects you're involved in?
Well, yeah, sure. I can tell you about three projects which are different, but are all related to media accessibility. For instance, now we are working at our research group on the IMAC project, Immersive Accessibility. And I think this is pretty interesting because it researches how we can integrate access service in virtual reality, in immersive environments. You know, when people put those glasses and you are inside a virtual world?
Uh-huh. That's interesting. Wow.
Where do we put the subtitles? Because it's not a 2D screen. You are immersed in a virtual world. Or how do you put an audio description there? What do you audio describe? Because there's so much content to describe. Or where do you put the sign language interpreter? So we are researching that, talking to the users, seeing what they need, what their requirements are, and then implementing that together with other partners. This is a project led by i2CAT, which we are participating. So this is an H2020 project. Another project we are doing now, in which we are involved, we are not leading that. This is led by University of Trieste, Elisa Rego. It's the AdLab Pro project. In this project, which is more focused on training, we want to define the professional profile of the audio describer. So there are countries in which the audio describer is a professional, but others in which he or she is a volunteer, other countries where there are no audio describers. So we want to define what an audio describer should know, and then we are creating materials to train audio describers, and those materials will be available for free online. Another project is the national project NIA, which is funded by the Spanish Ministry, and there we're researching audio description and audio subtitling, especially how we should voice these access services. Let me put you an example. Imagine that you cannot read the subtitles because you are blind or because you are a person with dyslexia, and you're watching a movie in Japanese with subtitles in your language. You don't understand Japanese. You cannot read the subtitles. You don't have access to the movie. What you need there is an audio subtitle. So those subtitles read aloud. Okay?
Okay. Like an additional track.
Yes, exactly. So like a bit like in documentaries that sometimes you hear the original and then the translation on top of it, like a voiceover. Mm-hmm. So that would be audio subtitles. Then what we are researching is how these audio subtitles should be voiced. So for instance, do users prefer a flat intonation with no emphatic words? Or do they prefer more like dubbing, you know, a more active performance? Mm-hmm. So we are doing tests with users to see what they prefer. And basically, and that's very interesting, the emotions that they feel. And to do that, we use a new device, which is called electrodermal activity. Basically, it's a device that you, like a sensor that you put on your fingers, and it allows the researcher to know the sudoration, the sweat.
So
when we feel an emotion, yeah, that's a bit complicated.
That's fascinating, yes.
That. So when you feel an emotion, you've got a physiological reaction, a body reaction, and those sensors can objectively measure that. So going back to the beginning, we are testing the emotion that the users feel when we use different strategies to voice audio subtitles.
That's interesting. We have already mentioned the Unlimited Symposium and the UMAC conference, for example. Your research group is very active in organizing conferences, which provide the opportunity to hear the latest research in media accessibility. Can you tell us more about it, Anna?
Yes. Well, this June, as you were saying, we had the UMAC conference, which was a conference linked to the UMAC project by Gian Maria Greco. Then we had the ACT Unlimited conference. Unlimited is a conference that started 2 years ago in Belgium. And this year, it has teamed up with ACT Project. So we had the ACT Unlimited Tour Symposium in Barcelona. In 2 years, Belgium will organize the third Unlimited Conference. And then this first week of June, we also had the Fun for All Conference. The Fun for All is a conference, our research group, Transmedia Catalonia, mm-hmm. and especially Carme Mangiron, who's mm-hmm. not a video game expert, organizes every 2 years, and it's about video game accessibility, video game localization. Mm-hmm. So we had this conference this year, and in 2 years we'll have again the Fun for All. And then we've got another conference, RSAT, which will take place March 2019 in Barcelona. So the call for papers is already open, and this is a conference about audio description. And I'm really glad to say that for all those conferences, Subti and Freds have always been sponsored and have always helped us disseminating it. Because as I said before, it's those conferences and our research is not only for researchers, it's for everybody. So we really want users, we want service providers, regulators, companies, broadcasters to come and talk to us.
Yes, developing awareness raising and dissemination activities in the field of media accessibility is of vital importance. So do you think that this program is somehow a good instrument to bring attention on these topics and to raise awareness about disability, accessibility and inclusion, Anna?
Definitely, no doubt about it. I mean, we academics, we write papers, we go to conferences, but we need to reach out to everybody. We need to reach out to society. We need to transfer knowledge. So this is one of the key things that we have to do. And I think we are making a big effort to do that. So yes, definitely this type of program is really, really, really needed. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So we started our interview with the definition of media accessibility, and we emphasized the fact that the field of media accessibility is constantly changing and evolving. So now my last question is, how do you imagine the future in terms of media accessibility, Anna?
Well, my wish, I don't know if this is how I imagine it, mm-hmm. but my wish is that media accessibility is nothing that we have to fight for anymore, that is totally integrated in the process. So when someone designs something, when someone creates a media content, it is part of this design, it is part of this creation process. So we take into account that our content will be shown, will be broadcast, yes. will be targeted at very, very different users. And we take into account their needs by providing alternative access to different to different parts of that audiovisual content. So I don't know, that's my wish. Mm-hmm. The reality, we'll see, I don't know.
Okay.
Let's hope for the best.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, thank you very much to Anna Matamala from the Universidad Autónoma de Barcelona for taking the time to share her wide experience on media accessibility with us today. It is always a great pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much. It's really a pleasure being able to be here to talk about the research we are doing at Transmedia Catalonia. And please, if you have any questions, if you want to know more, if you have any research ideas, suggestions, please contact us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you very much to all of you. This is Accessible Cinema on Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.